Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Time to talk about America with Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas. And Cal, what on earth is Donald Trump playing at with Vladimir Putin? Because we just heard in the last half hour that he now has no plans to meet with Vladimir Putin, having announced last week that he would do so in Budapest. And given that he apparently re-tore into Vladimir Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, when he was in Washington last Friday, essentially telling him to surrender to Putin. What's going on?
Well, Matt, you're right. And, you know, this began under the previous administration when Joe Biden initially described Putin's invasion of Ukraine as a minor incursion. I mean, dictators don't need to be encouraged. This is clearly the invasion of a sovereign nation. And to say some of the things that Trump has been saying, basically accepting what Putin has done or suggesting that the current line, especially in Donbass, which Putin wants, along with the rest of Ukraine, by the way, and the restoration of the old Soviet Empire, Estonia, Latvia, and the rest of them, you just can't accommodate a dictator like this. And the problem with Trump, among many others, is that he deals with foreign policy by personality, and it doesn't work. He claims to be friends with Kim Jong-un, with Xi Jinping, and with Vladimir Putin, and then he is critical of people who are supposed to be representing our allies. It's the craziest thing. I've never seen anything like it in Washington.
Okay, Mary McKeown, can you interpret what is going on now at this stage with Trump's approach to trying to stop the Russian invasion of Ukraine? I mean, is he just simply wanting to end it by rewarding Russia for what it has done?
I think, as Cal said, it's not just personal, it's also transactional. Presumably, Putin poured some nonsense into Trump's ear about doing deals together, business deals, you know, some hotel in Trump in Moscow probably, or some rare earth minerals that he'd give him. You know, who knows what he promised him in their 2.5 hour phone call. But anyway, it's very clear that Trump did a full 180 after that call, going back to where he was pre-Alaska, after Putin sweet-talked him again, and now humiliating again for Trump, this meeting, this summit that they were going to have in Budapest is now not going to happen. We know that Sergei Lavrov, the veteran Russian foreign policy guy, the wiliest guy I would say in foreign policy, humiliated Marco Rubio by saying, I don't need to meet you this week, we can just talk on the phone, that's enough. You know, and so they keep doing this, they keep humiliating Trump and his people and switching. You know, he's just playing with Trump. It's like a cat with a mouse. Putin is so much more, you know, he's at the risk of repeating it, he's a KGB operative. He's playing mind games very deliberately with Trump. He's reeling him in, then he's humiliating him, then he reels him back in again, because all Putin wants to do is play for time. He believes that if he runs out the clock enough, that eventually Ukraine will crumble, that they'll be out of troops, out of money, out of time. But we've seen that this year so far, 100,000 Russian troops have been killed, which is 5x more than the number of Ukrainian troops. And now the EU, which is finally, thank God, getting its act together on Ukraine, is saying that they may allow up to, I think it's about $200,000 in frozen Russian central bank assets, that they may use that as a guarantor for loans to Ukraine. So in fact, Trump is now in the position where Zelensky might just be able to keep this going without him, and that Russia is the one that's in trouble, and that Trump may be siding with the loser, his biggest phobia, because I don't see how Putin wins this. I don't see how, especially if, and Zelensky has become, it's quite a astonishing how agile Ukraine has become in their strategy and their tactics in taking out Russian oil refineries and gas areas, inflicting damage on things that will cost Putin money, not just Russian soldiers. And, you know, how much longer will Russia put up with this? They've lost hundreds of thousands of troops that we know of. Apparently close to a million have died. And for what? For a couple of, you know, a couple of square miles of space on the border. I think that the Europeans are right that if there's going to be talks, it needs to be, the border needs to be frozen where it is. And let's have talks then.
Okay, but Carl, why is it that there seems to be so little resistance in the Republican Party to these foreign policy initiatives of Trump? Is there nobody with a memory in the Republican Party in the United States? Is there nobody who will want to stand up and tell Trump, you are actually appeasing dictators?
No, Matt, and the problem is both parties, Democrats and Republicans now in the United States, are prisoners of their base. You have Democrats who will not criticize a candidate for attorney general in the state of Virginia in an upcoming election in a couple of weeks who said some horrible things on his social media sites, and they won't criticize him. And Republicans, even though you have a few of them, like Rand Paul, a senator from Kentucky, and one or two others maybe, who raised questions about bailouts of Argentina or striking alleged drug boats coming from Venezuela and maybe some other Caribbean nations. But all in all, they fear the voters, who are so many of them, who continue to basically worship Trump as a god.
But sir, you're not equating somebody standing for election to some office in Virginia with Trump, are you? Surely it's far more important what Trump is doing, given the power that he has. And then it's not the job of Democrats to oppose him. Surely it's the job of the people in his own party to say, right, no, our leader, this is not what America should be doing.
Well, it's true, but the same thing was true during the Biden administration. You had his press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre, quitting the Democrat Party and now saying she's an independent, but she was defending Biden and his cognitive awareness and that he was sharp as a tack, and no other Democrat would take on Biden or criticize him. This is the point I'm making. Each party is a prisoner of its base, and nobody can speak truth to power anymore for fear that their base will abandon them. It's all about holding office. It's all about getting reelected.
But what about, Murray, then, about an estimated 7 million people who turned out for the No Kings protests at the weekend and who get smeared then as if they're mad communists and members of Antifa and as if they're anti-American, when these were, for the large part, many of them were people who would have been close to Trump's age, even Cal's age?
Well, you know, before I get to that very quickly, can I just get back to Carl's remarks about Joe Biden? His cognitive decline, which was apparent, had nothing to do with his inability to stand up to dictators. I think you were mistaken, Carl, in your earlier comments. Yes, he did say before the incursion that it was a small incursion, but he put together a massive international, very successfully coalition. They put sanctions, not that effective. He could have given more arms, in my view, more quickly, but he absolutely stood up against that invasion of Ukraine and was unequivocal in condemning Putin for it. So I don't think that, and he did not mollycoddle or cozy up to any dictators, whereas all Trump is interested in is in being part of the strongman's club. So I think that they're two totally different things there. Now, onto the No Kings March. Yes, 7 million people. I was very interested in your column, Cal, in which you claimed, I'm not sure where you got that information, that it was funded by George Soros. I don't think he's all that much money anymore. Or that it was all paid supporters are paid protesters. I have spoken to, and I was on the Indivisible website, I spoke to a load of people in New York and California and that I know, and they were all out. There were school teachers out, there were just ordinary civilians, there were hundreds of thousands apparently of federal workers. Nobody's paying them anything at the moment. So it seems like it was a genuine grassroots protest from the ground up, and that Americans have just had enough of so much of what is going on in their country, and I really respect them for that. They have the right to protest peacefully, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, you question my source, Marianne. I wonder where you get the 7 million. There's no credible source that says there's 7 million people. And even if it was true that we are a nation of nearly 350 million, that means 43 million didn't turn out. So this is all show business. Some of the signs were clearly made by somebody else. These were not sitting in their basement writing these signs out on their own. You had a school teacher teacher, I think from Chicago, who was mimicking the assassination of Charlie Kirk, pointing to her throat. There were some vile things said out there. This doesn't win elections. The Democrats and the left don't have any issues anymore. Their only issue is Donald Trump. They're not campaigning for men and women's sports or open borders or more fentanyl or crime in Chicago, because they lost all of that in the last election. So all they can do is get out in the street and oppose Donald Trump.
Sorry, but surely they, rather than at this stage pushing forward their own agenda, they're quite entitled to come out and say that they don't believe in ICE picking up people off the streets, including American citizens, and treating them in the way that they're doing. That they don't agree with the federal shutdown. That they don't agree with an enormous amount of things that Trump is actually doing. And then what about the point, as I put to Marion, is that to be a protester now is to run the risk of being called a communist, a member of Antifa, of being anti-American. That this is conflation of being anti-Trump with how somehow being anti-patriotic. Cal?
You're on. Oh, I thought you were asking Marion.
No, I was asking you.
We've seen this before. You know, since you mentioned my age, thank you, Matt. I'm old enough to, when I was a reporter covering the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations and civil rights demonstrations, and I remember some conservatives were claiming that those were backed by the Communist Party. Look, we have a First Amendment right to demonstrate peacefully. I'm glad these demonstrations were peaceful, by the way. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was shot. Nobody was stabbed. This is part of America, and I'm fine with that. My point is, though, that the left doesn't have an issue to run on. Their agenda was rejected in the last election. The high taxes, the big spending, which we continue to be to have out of control, and so they're not really running on a positive agenda. They're running on an anti-Trump agenda, and you don't beat a thesis with an antithesis. You have to beat it with a better thesis, so they don't have it.
And as a listener, I'm going to put this one to you, Marion. This is Bernard, who says, how could President Trump redesign the White House without public consultation with the building of the new ballroom, which started this week? Who runs the White House? In Ireland, the OPW looks after the Dáil. Is there an equivalent in the US? This is as a result of the pictures we've shown. Having promised that nothing would happen to the existing building, part of the East Wing has been demolished to make way for this new ballroom. Tell us about this, please, Marion.
Yeah, you know, this is, I think a lot of people are probably quite surprised and shocked by this. And as I understand it, it should be under the National Park Service. And there are places like there are federal agencies that are supposed to take care of and protect public buildings. So I don't know who specifically was the National Park Service is directly in charge, I believe, of managing the White House grounds, which I assume would incorporate the building and the White House itself. So it seems that Trump is up to his old construction trick tactics, where he just smashes something down and then says, whoops, sorry about that, but look what I'm building instead. It seems, I think this is a bit jarring for Americans, just the optic of seeing those huge claws ripping out the side of the East Wing. It just seems disrespectful. And what protected areas and listed areas have been just smashed now in the meantime. But this is how Trump does it. He is a bull in a china shop. And, you know, he's going crapping on about this ballroom, this 650-seater ballroom. Are probably going to put weddings in there or something that initially was going to cost $200 million and now it's going to be $250 million. I guarantee you it'll be $500 million by the time it's finished. And, you know, I just don't think that this is going to be particularly, to me, I'm not an American, but I would imagine if you were, the White House is very revered and it just seems horribly disrespectful.
Okay, I want to move on to something else to finish with, and this is forever, whatever about the size of the American national debt, there's $20 billion going to a bailout of Argentina because Argentina's president sucks up to Trump. Let's hear a little bit about Trump justifying this, or when he's asked about his opposition to the bailout of Argentina.
My question is, what do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can. But don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? They're dying.
Okay, Carl, explain why Trump wants to give all this money to Argentina. What's in it for him, apart from flattery from the Argentinians?
Well, Matt, you know how much I love Broadway musicals, so don't cry for me, Argentina. We have a $37 trillion debt and counting. The interest on the debt is bigger than the GDP of many nations. As Rand Paul, again, the senator from Kentucky, says, if we got $20 billion to give to Argentina, we ought to be paying down our debt or helping with health care. I mean, this is outrageous. We can't rescue the world. We can't be the policeman of the world. We can't be sending money that we don't have. It's borrowed money to other countries just because Trump likes the president and gee, they're in trouble and we're risking collapse. Well, there are a lot of countries like that, but there's no obligation and certainly no constitutional justification for bailing out other nations. I think it's a disgrace.
So, Marion, why is Trump doing it?
Well, I missed that. I wasn't able to hear that clip, but I assume it is, as Carl said, this is his buddy. This is how Trump conducts foreign policy. At the same time, he's talking about regime change, toppling Maduro. I don't think anybody would miss Maduro.
In Venezuela, yeah.
Not the business of in Venezuela. It's not the business of the US to go in and do it. We saw what happened when they did that in the 1980s. And he's also then targeting now Colombia as well, the Colombian president. And, you know, so it's like, it's crazy, it's inconsistent, it's knee-jerk, it's all about personalities and favors and transactional stuff. And as Cal said, the Republicans are not happy. It's not just Rand Paul, it's Josh Hawley, it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's a whole bunch of other Republicans who are saying exactly as Cal said, and apparently it's going to be $40 billion, that if they've got that kind of money lying around, well, then they should damn well pay off the US national debt with it.
Here's a line from a listener, which is very good. So Argentina is dying, so here's $20 billion, or you say $40 billion, but Ukraine isn't worth anything. And when you think about it, Ukraine, which is the victim of an illegal invasion by Russia, and Trump doesn't want to give assistance, any more assistance to Ukraine, and has complained about the money that has gone to Ukraine, a fraction of what he's given to Argentina. Isn't that very odd?
Excellent.
Yeah,
point.
And let's just be clear, the US hasn't given a cent to Ukraine since April 2024. So that's what, nearly 18 months since the US has given a single penny to Ukraine. So, you know, this again is absolutely disgraceful, but yet he can find, you know, $20 billion, $40 billion, whatever, for Argentina on a whim because their president has mismanaged the economy woefully.
Thank you, Marion McKeown and Carl Thomas.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.